Berry. Low ball towards half forward. Big fly in the end. Huge from Reina. Left it behind. No whistle.
Does he get it there? I think he does. Well, that turns into a great start for the Brisbane Lions. Suddenly, they're 21 points up.
McKenna with a little bit of shepherding work from McCluggage. Favour him. Then he kicks. Long ball towards Danaher. He shepherds it through. Further down the line is Ashcroft, being chased by Broad. Ducks and weaves back to Charlie Cameron from 50. Cameron goes. Bang!
McCarthy with a couple to beat. Did well. Snapped it away from Broad. Kept it alive and kicks the goal. Dunkley, Ashcroft, Neil. Back to Ashcroft. Away go the Lions.
Neil kicks. Is this accurate? It is.
Welcome to the Joe Danaher experience.
McCarthy gets another. It's a proper clinic now. He's got three.
It is the Brisbane Lions fan cast back after the round 16 comprehensive performance against the arch enemy, the Richmond Football Club. One of the greatest games we've seen in a while in terms of just being a complete performance. Everything was dialed in. Good, not just to beat the Tigers, but to absolutely wallop them at the home ground, at the Gabba. We've got another one coming up against the Eagles before we head down to Melbourne and take on the D's at the infamous MCG. Patrick, mates, nobody knows this, but before we recorded the podcast last week, we were having a bit of a chat about commentary and Channel 7 and Foxtel and you know, the like. And I said, I wonder what...
We thought better to leave it off because we thought it might be a little bit boring.
Well, yeah, obviously. So. But I did say, I wonder what ever happened to Jason Bennett. And you said, who? And I said, oh, the big ride guy. Like, he's a fantastic caller. I just don't recall him making any appearances in the comm box this year. We've had that Alistair Nichols guy on Channel 7. Lo and behold, we have that chat. In he comes. And how much better was it?
Exponentially more bearable. Like, significantly more bearable. Yeah, I loved it. You were at the game?
I was at the game, yeah. Great atmosphere, obviously. Party time for a lot of it. The vibe around the whole Gabba of just being able to smash the Tigers is a good one, and everyone's just got that same sort of, I don't know, hatred after the last, you know, five or so years where we've had that real rivalry towards the pointy end of the season. But it goes back, as it's been well documented, how they had the wood on us for such a long time until that 2020 qualifying final. So always good to get the win over the Tigers, albeit a very undermanned Tigers lineup.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of their own fault.
I suppose so, yeah. Like, Dion Prestia often injured, Dustin Martin the late withdrawal, Jacob Hopper coming off a couple of weeks off. But they were off in terms of the way they were playing the game, but we were on in every single facet. The defensive structure was immaculate. 53 points in the end we only let through. Piled on a number of goals. Joey kicked 5. Chuck hit the scoreboard. Link chimed in with a couple himself. It was just a really well-rounded performance from everyone.
Yeah, there was a lot of... it almost seemed like a lot of players playing themselves into their kind of best form through that game. How funny is it, though, the idea of Richmond sort of hunting to try and get, you know, noticing an insufficiency in their kind of contested ball and clearance work and going and getting to, like, as in Taranto. Hopper was... I mean, at least he kicked a couple of goals. But to see them get so comprehensively absolutely destroyed was really funny because I don't like Richmond. So to see the idea of them like, yeah, we're going to fix our clearance and contested ball by getting in two beasts, Taranto and Hopper, and it's like, yeah, Dunkley's there and he's better and he only played 3/4, so screw you.
Yeah, after half time, he was on the bench getting that calf looked at for a long, long while, came back on briefly before getting subbed out. So accordingly, it's nothing to worry about. But it will be a wait and see. And with West Coast coming up, you know, it's probably the opportunity to rest a few players that may be dealing with some niggles, but we'll get to that later on. I do want to say, I love Ryan Lester. I just want to say that. Deal with that however you like. I just feel like it's a good thing to say at this point in time.
Well, you've already got Simon. Are you going to have, like, Lester as your second born?
Maybe. Obviously, a lot of the damage was done in the midfield. Neil had one of the great games, and I'm sure we'll feature in the votes later on. Good to see McCluggage back to his absolute best as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to kind of not unpopularly put it out, but if Neil didn't get 2 goals, which I guess I had McCluggage best on, but the goals kind of swing it. So that was like Hugh at his sort of slimy, mercurial best in terms of just he's never going to be the quickest player, but he didn't look it because he was reading the game so well. So it was just... it was... So the cat just completely smashed its head on the blinds right here. Where to begin? Minimal team change.
Archie in for... the first time in the actual starting lineup, not just the sub, so that was good to see. And I thought he did quite well. Poor bloke can't get a run on it, but when he was on the field, what he did was very good. You know, there was a couple of, especially early on in the piece, he had to stand under a ball, saw, I think it might have been Ashcroft running behind him, and instead of, you know, taking the mark and copying the tackle, sort of like a little deft touch behind him that set up a bit of a run and gun style play, which I thought was just, you know, silly good in terms of just like those little moments that do go unnoticed sometimes, but show a huge amount of footy IQ.
He's such a good like team man, team player. I don't know if it was completely right, but he, you know, when Vlosten was kind of like, he sort of started pretty right, and I think Archie might have gone to Vlosten and to try and kind of do a bit of a defensive job on it, like Cam Ellis Yolman on Tom Stewart, but better. And more fun.
and with much better outcomes in the end as well.
First quarter, it seemed Richmond were kind of moving the ball reasonably well in the first sort of, I put it to the first goal. It looked like it could be quite a like arm wrestle game. And that obviously only lasted the better part of like 7 minutes. So that was great. Love that. Joe Danaher started where he left off in the first final last year with a carbon copy goal.
Yes.
After Cam Rayner conspired again to almost take mark of the year for the third week in a row. So I thought it was a mark. I thought the one last week was a mark. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I've definitely seen marks worse than that paid.
Yes, Junior Rioli and Ablett. Yes. And some other guy. Joe Danaher out of bounds that one time.
Yeah,
it was just pretty funny how that was such, like, it was just the same goal, basically. So that was good. Kind of kicked everything off, got it all sort of started. Yeah, from then it was like more or less one-way traffic. Like you mentioned, the defensive system was pretty tight in terms of just, there's a massive element of control that the team was sort of just plying on them, which translated really well into this kind of like attacking monstrosity that sort of happened. So what did you notice?
I thought a very slight change in the way we move the ball. So normally we're a low possession, kick the ball forward, get it into our forwards as soon as possible type team, but there seemed to be a few more like handball chains running through the middle of the ground, which I thought was quite nice to see, with a bit of, you know, a bit of attacking flair. And it sort of, it got McKenna and Kitty Coleman involved more up the ground, which I really liked. I thought Ashcroft had one of his better games as well, especially that he's running forward with the ball, sort of balks, steps back a couple of bit, and then the handball over the shoulder to Charlie that gave him a bit of space to kick that goal. Yeah, I just thought the way we moved the ball was a little bit different, but it's good to add that into our game as well.
Yeah, I know similarly, but even in like wider areas, they were kind of trying to get a bit of an outnumber and playing through kind of the, rather than just a down the line element, because, you know, when you've got Vlosten and Noah Bolter, they are two people that can defend reasonably well. I think it's funny because if you're looking in terms of like established players and whatever, you know, Noah Bolter and I think Jack Payne are the same age. So it is interesting to think how much more established Noah Bolter is in the eyes of the competition and in the media. But to me, I'd take Jack Payne every day because I think there's a lot of quite frustrating things that Noah Bolter probably does.
He's prone to like some pretty big brain farts, Noah Bolter.
Yeah. And yeah, there was just, they had nothing. Like Richmond really had nothing. But I think the way in terms of like the team pushing up, and when they did have a chance to kind of through that kind of press, they were able to turn that into scores, which is why it sort of seemed like for a point, every time they almost had like an inside 50, they would score. I don't actually know off the top of my head what the kind of inside 50 efficiency thing was, but you know, not great, seemingly. 45% for them. But it just seemed like, you know, at times they were just sort of scoring the only time they went up, but we were scoring about 8-1. So,
yeah, the might have been the second or the third quarter. They got a bit of a run on. It must have been the third quarter because they didn't score a goal in the second quarter. it sort of kicked three goals in relatively quick succession. I thought, oh, okay, this quarter's going to break even a little bit. But by the time it ended, we'd sort of piled on maybe six or so as well. I mean, even Darcy Wilmot was getting forward as well. Speaking about those halfbacks moving forward, Darcy Wilmot got forward, snagged himself a goal on the siren.
Connor McKenna, a big
yeah.
goal as well. It was very interesting because you mentioned Kadeen Coleman and his input going forward, which was there. And also I thought his kind of like ditch defending to stop those transition plays was really good. And then Wilmot slotting before halftime. Loves a goal against Richmond and loves a celebration against Richmond.
Sure, he's only human.
I think it's kind of one of those things where we were all sort of waiting for it. Like, interestingly, he off a goal. Like, I almost want to give Darcy Wilmot the moniker of the, like, Australian Royal Artillery Squadron honorary. Because, man, that guy kicks the ball so high all the time.
Yeah.
And I meant to, but I didn't, and I'll have to try and find it. But there was a moment where he kicked the ball, like just a normal kick, and they had to like pan the camera up on the broadcast, and it went like the ball was like above in the sky. Like it didn't make any sense, but it's just been something I've been watching. It's hilarious. Like he hits targets, but he'll kick them so high up and over. He shot a goal, the lowest kick he's ever done. Just zoomed it. Brilliant. Man of many talents.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that team was put together, I can't sort of pick anyone that had a bad game. I mean, disposal-wise, Jack Payne and Darcy Fort were down there for obvious reasons. Fort being the sub again, Jack Payne just being a key position defender. Charlie Cameron low on disposals, but impact was much higher than that would suggest. Obviously, we're going to have to make at least two changes this week coming forward, but as I said, we'll deal with that when we get to it a little bit later.
I suppose if you look at it in kind of context of it, and this was something that sort of happened in the Western Bulldogs game, is like, do you really want your two backmen to be your high possession getting players like Richmond's were? And like, you know, Harris Andrews had a really good game against Western Bulldogs, but I think I said at the time, it's like not the game you necessarily want him to be having at this point in your team's development. Even like last week was a little bit like that, but at the same time, a team's always going to go forward. So you've got something to nullify that, and you'd rather him not be like out of practice. But man, I didn't even realize Jack Riewoldt was on the field.
Yeah,
that's like that. That's how kind of effective Payne was. And I'm not saying like Jack Riewoldt is kind of like the absolute nuisance that he's kind of always been. But I think I saw him get one handball.
Looking at it, he finished two kicks, four handballs, and a mark. So yeah, relatively no effect. The other sort of key forwards for them, Samson Ryan, had less than that, four kicks, one handball. Noah Cumberland, he was probably their best forward, I guess, designated forward anyway, and he didn't exactly have a great game by any stretch of the imagination. So, like I said, it was just an all-round, well-oiled machine performance. Like, I would say our best performance of the year. I think if we play like that, we beat anyone anywhere. You know, MCG, yeah. Optus Stadium. Yeah, if any team plays like that, they're going to be hard to stop.
Well, it's the level of control that kind of we exerted.
Like the show? Make sure to follow and subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms.
Now, I got something a bone to pick with you. You said last week, you said that the last few weeks, Charlie Cameron's sort of been a little bit off and he's been working hard, trying to do the team thing. And you said you hadn't seen his bottom lip drop.
Yeah.
And I'd never really heard that expression before. But it took him all of about 10 seconds to drop his bottom lip and for it to become the size of a gigantic slab of meat in his mouth. Pretty funny. Just put the mocker on him.
Yeah, it was funny. I mean, watching the Fox broadcast and then after the game, they sort of do, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour post chat and interviews and do the press conference and sort of stuff. They had a chat to Cam Rayner not too long after the game. And I think, how did he put it? Was he had his front fence knocked in or something like that.
that was great. Oh, yeah. Cam Rayner is so nice.
He's
so good in terms of like the media stuff. Like you could tell, you know, if anything was going wrong or you just send him out and he just kind of abates any kind of like potential problem just by being like, I don't know. I don't know whether it's like everyone's like younger brother or like best friend or something. He just sort of has that kind of vibe to him.
Yeah, he's just he's always positive, always got a smile. He's a very infectious sort of sort of guy, always having a giggle and just seems really happy all the time, and that does wear off on people, which is great.
They did mention, I think, after that interview, like how kind of important he is kind of for the club culture and stuff like that, which I'd have to totally agree with. And I think, I don't know, his work in contests and stuff like that and his ability to just go through people is getting better.
Well, it's
not far off him being an absolute dominator soon, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's one thing that Kingy's pointed out in, you know, post-game, in first crack, just the way we straight-line the ball compared to the way Richmond sort of attacked the ball. They were sort of a little bit hesitant. It's sort of the most timid we've seen Richmond in a while. And on the opposite side of things, you know, we've got Kitty Coleman just beelining balls, McCluggage doing it, Neil Dunkley, Rayner, even Ryan Lester chopping off balls, just absolutely going for it, while Richmond just sort of seen that half step off. Speaking of Lions in media, I don't know if you've noticed this, but maybe over the last 2 weeks, maybe even a little bit more, but anytime anyone from our club has done a press conference or an interview, whether it be Fags or any of the players, they've all mentioned that Hawthorn game as like, that was the moment. There's like, oh, we know we need to change a few things. So they're obviously, it's obviously burning in them the way it has a lot of the supporters as well. And while, you know, I still look back on that game with nothing but horrid memories, you know, if it's the wake-up call that we needed and the sort of catalyst that we required to put together our best footy and our best team, then I'll cop it.
Yeah, that's kind of what we sort of almost were talking about last week, in terms of that pivotal point in the season sort of has happened a bit too late in seasons gone by. We've either kind of coasted through, or we've gotten to a point where it's like, oh, this isn't quite working. Why is it not working? How do we fix it? Well, we can't, because we've got a game or two games until finals. And then there's kind of an element of just sort of playing on a bit of a wave of whether it's, you know, chucking in a couple of new players or something. But it seems like there's been a kind of whole sort of systematic change. And, you know, just going back to that Cam Rayner thing, like he was talking about the idea, because he's been playing as the third tall, as everyone kind of thought that he would. But he sort of said, oh, you know, when Gunson gets back into the team, that he'll be able to drop and, you know, play a different role. So, yeah, I don't think system wise it's been all that much different. But like, did you notice like Link McCarthy kind of dropping more into sort of center bounce, not into center bounce, but he was kind of impacting that sort of stuff a bit more? It got him more involved in the game because he's got like really, really high level hand skills.
Yeah,
I think that's a massively underrated talent. Also, that goal he kicked where he just like, it was a 2-on-1 and he tapped it to himself and kicked in the goal, so brilliant. Loved the jumper punch on Camden Mackens. Not going to tell you to get a hair implant, then I don't know what will, because Link McCarthy's A, punching you in the face, and probably got about 6 years on you, so...
It's obviously going to see him spend a week on the sidelines, which is not ideal.
Well worth it, mate. Well worth it.
He did absolutely chin him, didn't he?
It was good. Glad that it didn't get overturned. But yeah, there was just like, it's almost like you can't really talk about every facet of that game that was really good, because it was all really good. But a special mention, I think after Richmond kind of got their run of goals, we were sort of heading about two, three minutes towards three quarter time. And I think we put on four goals in that amount of time to throw the Lee Matthews mathematics completely out the window. The idea of kicking, you know, more than a goal a minute. Yeah, I think it might have been like Joe Danaher, Link, Lockie Neal, Hipwood, I don't know, a whole bunch of them kicked goals just to kind of get us to 100 points by three-quarter time, which was pretty great, obviously.
I mean, yeah, there were moments there where you thought maybe, and it didn't seem likely at all because of the level of opposition, but, you know, a 100-point win was within reach if we had kicked a little bit straighter and a few things went our way. At the end of the day, I'll take 81 points, no questions asked, but it was definitely an opportunity there for a bit. And, you know, with the way Richmond's been playing, they won their last three against reasonable opposition. They beat St Kilda, they beat Freo over there. Can't remember who the other team they beat were. So they haven't exactly beaten any top four teams or anything, but, you know, they haven't played mugs either.
Yeah, well, I think that was kind of the first... Well, definitely the first time that McWalters, who looks like a school teacher or something, or like someone's slightly older brother, has really been... Well, the pressure's been put to him. Isn't he supposed to be on, like, 360 tonight?
He is, yeah. Good luck to him.
Oh, man, that's going to be funny as. Maybe I'll have to watch that. Start watching that again. I don't know. I took a bit of a, like, quite a break off of just sort of footy shows over the past month just to kind of, like, you know, set yourself and then you kind of go for the back half of the season. So it's amazing what happens when your team play a bit better. So
I know, it's crazy.
Well, I think, you know, the weird thing for me was just, you know, tuning in after one of the games, might even have been the Sydney or the St Kilda one, and just a game. And then the second story was, like, an interview with the Collingwood player while they were on a bye. And I was just like, man, what? You've got an opportunity to talk about other teams over the bye and you're not doing it. So, you know, I don't know anyone who'd want to hear anything that Jordan Ngoi has to say personally, but there must be people there. I don't know. Yeah, what a hilariously good game. And I think that one is a bit of payback, I think, for that 2018, probably what, round four game?
Oh, yeah.
Where we kicked 17 points. Zach Bailey's debut.
Oh, no.
yeah, where I think we got dusted by over 100 points at the MCG. And just a bit of payback for that. Bit of a cathartic watch, I think.
I mean, there was definitely something nice about it. And, you know, obviously it's not the same Richmond team that sort of did deal out all that punishment to not just us, but plenty of other teams over the last, you know, 5-6 years. But still fun nonetheless.
No, but at the same time, yeah, they're in a bit of a transition now, but, like, you know, hardness of the ball, as you were mentioning, that's something that's got to kind of be led by your senior players. And, like, you know, are you really trusting sort of Trent Cotchin to go sort of head over the ball the way that he used to? Probably not anymore. Shea Bolton's not the kind of player to do that. Short pulled up short. So it's kind of, then you're relying on two kind of mercenaries from GWS to do it for you and to teach the younger kind of Richmond players how to kind of go about it. And I just don't think that that's a particularly sustainable model. So I don't really mind.
No, I don't really mind either. Not at all.
It's probably not. It's not the same us team, but it's still, you know, the fragments and the skeleton's still there. So, yeah, take that.
Make sure you follow us on socials. Just search for BL Fancast.
All right, you got some votes?
I've got sort of two of the votes. Have you got some votes?
Yeah, I do. Neil McCluggage, Leicester, 3-2-1.
Neil McCluggage, Leicester, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go Neil for the 3, McCluggage for the 2, and big Link McCarthy, 1 jumper punch to the schmuzz of Camden McIntosh for my 1.
Joe Danaher, seriously unlucky to kick 5 goals and not get a vote, but...
Yeah, but I mean... you know, he was primed for 1 vote until he kicked it out on the full after the siren. So
that was funny though.
Yeah, that was what was he trying to do there? Did he try to go the Tory?
I think he tried to go the barrel and then obviously just lambshanked it completely and just had a giggle to himself because whatever, we've already won. If you've got license to go for a barrel at any time, it's when you've already beaten Richmond by 81 points and you're on the junction of 50 in the boundary line. You might as well.
Yeah, I mean, for him, though, you'd probably do that when you're about 80 metres out, like, because he could probably just stride through that, I reckon.
Probably.
It's going to be amazing when we miss out on top 2 by 0.1 of a percentage or something. Going to tempt fate extra hard. Yeah, I mean, 5 goals for Danaher. There were just so many, like, good performers. I thought Jared Berry was really good again, and I thought probably Dunkley was almost best on ground until he went off.
Yeah. Ashcroft, as I said, had a great game as well. So, I mean, there's a whole host of people that could have featured in the votes.
Like, even Dev Robertson was really good. He got caught a couple of times early, but he sort of obviously grew into the game, had a bit of fun with it. Showed a bit of his kind of craft, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Jared Berry absolutely, like... Because Camden McIntosh is a really good winger. Kind of one of their, you know, experienced players, and he just more or less got completely nullified. It might not have been a complete dominance, but, you know, it was there. Yeah, I mean, their team's sort of in a bit of trouble, aren't they?
There's a bunch of people on the night that didn't do a lot for Richmond. So, you know, players like Liam Baker, Daniel Rioli, Shai Bolton, people we've seen be able to, like, take a game away from teams. They all had quiet nights. Dylan Grimes was basically null and void. So, yeah, it was a team that was at their best versus a team that was below what we know is their best. and that showed in the
scoreboard. Which is funny because you know there were a lot of people that tipped Richmond going to that game, so that Richmond were kind of riding quite a wave. I think it's interesting as well, just in a general sense, because that would be probably for me our best performance of the season next to the Carlton game.
Yep.
And interestingly, our two best performances have come against what people describe preseason as top four teams. They're obviously not, but you know, does that kind of it's an interesting kind of situation, I think.
Yeah.
There's no real rhyme or reason to what I just said, but it's just funny.
Before we get into any changes and talking about the VFL performance, we should mention the Tyler Young stop on the goal line, place the ball ready there for Joe Danaher to just absolutely punt it into that poor lady's face. I mean, fantastic effort to get there and stop the ball, but what are you doing? Touch it through. Why did he score a try on the try line?
Maybe he thought he was like, maybe Jamie Elliott watched that and then thought, oh, I can do that too or something. I don't know. But that made it all the more funny. Just to kick into the cheer squad was great.
Absolutely scone that poor lady. And then you can see her boyfriend or husband or whatever just starts going off at Joe Danaher. But at the end of the day, if old mate didn't just place the ball on the goal line, none of that happens.
Yeah, well, is that like one of those situations of, you know, rushed behind sort of things? And like, is that what it's doing to people's brains? Because it really shouldn't.
No.
Like, that one you can just punch straight through.
You're allowed to touch that through. Of course you are.
That said, I think I have noticed, just speaking of like rush behinds, because there was a time last year where Hugh McCluggage got done for like an intentional rush behind or like a rush behind under no pressure or whatever,
yeah,
because he was under pressure but he was outside 9 meters.
Yeah.
And I've seen people do that 4 times this year against us and it not be picked up.
Something to watch.
Yeah, I just think that maybe it's something that the umpires don't even really know, like, because the guy's under pressure. But it was, you know, there have been times, not necessarily last week, it just jogged my memory, but the week prior there was one where it's just, yeah, guys like rushing the ball from well outside the goal square. So putting that on watch.
Okay, very good.
But yeah, funny as, and just, you know, rush it through. It's not that hard, but it's also funny. And I like the fact that like Joe Danaher didn't even realize that like it could have been a goal or, you know, that sort of thing. Like, you know, made it even sweeter.
It was very humorous. And on a night that was full of humor because just vibes and energy were high because we're beating Richmond, that was definitely towards the top of the list. All right, 2 changes, obviously. Out goes McCarthy with a week suspension and Calachi with concussion protocols. You'd imagine Dane Zorko would be coming back this week. From all reports, Fagan said he was fit and ready last week, but just they were trying to take the conservative approach with him. So, I mean, force changes, I think he sort of is a like-for-like to an extent for McCarthy, can play that mid-forward role. And then Archie is a little bit more difficult. I wouldn't mind if Harry Sharp came back in or even a Lohman gets another crack at it.
What do you got?
I mean, I'd probably go for Sharp in that respect. But, you know, it's a game against the Eagles. And if there are players, like I said, you know, if it's Will Ashcroft's first year, maybe he needs a week off. If Josh Dunclair doesn't, you know, if that calf is sort of giving him a little bit of grief throughout the week, I'd be inclined to give him the week off, bring back Jared Lyons because he got another 41 touches in the twos. Like, we could see it, you know, up to another 5 changes tactically. We're 2 games clear third. We're coming up against a team on our home deck that we should beat. I mean, they were obviously much improved against St Kilda. So, like I said to you, they were obviously going to get a response after whatever that was last week, West Coast. I can't see them putting that together 2 weeks in a row, and I certainly can't see them beating us at the Gabba. So, I wouldn't be surprised if Fagan gives a couple of players the week off, but definitely those 2 changes anyway, Sharp and Zorko in for Archie and McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Yeah, it is hard to know like who they will be kind of conservative with. I've got McCarthy and Archie obviously coming out because we've just talked about that. But I've got Lohman and Gunson coming in.
Sure.
And if Dunkley doesn't play, I think Zorko will play.
So you don't, like, are you at the point now where just the way we've been performing, you don't see Zorko in our best 22?
I think that it's a conservative approach where why would you want to risk him against West Coast?
Fair call.
Unless, you know, unless one of your mids doesn't kind of come up. Because I think there's plenty of coverage that can be done with that. But yeah, I'm like, it'll be unpopular having Gunston come back in. But I think we did say against Hawthorn, oh, here's a good opportunity. But against West Coast, here's a good opportunity at home. He was listed as an emergency in the game last week as well. So
I think of the two, Gunston and Rich, Gunston is more likely to come back in first, if at all.
Yeah, I mean, I said last week I still see Gunston after this training block in our best 22. But I don't, you know, I've kind of had, it's been interesting because I thought Rich was a bit underdone even at the beginning of the season. And it's kind of, that's been the case. But even him and Zorko, the whole Dev Rob and Jackson Pryor, we'll come to Dev Rob in a little bit. But, you know, the amount of injuries between Rich and Zorko, like Zorko's been out with a calf for like, what, 6 weeks or something? Like, it's pretty weird. Like, was that something that he picked up in the Adelaide game or was it not? Doesn't really matter. But I think Zorko's in our best 22, but it's just, there's an element of unreliability to it. But the way that Wilmot, McKenna and Kadeen Coleman have been playing at halfback, I just can't see Rich getting back into the team. And I know that did get, got written about on the AFL, like nine yeah. things we learned. Because it takes them like a full celestial year to realize these things. But yeah, I just don't really think that there's anything that Daniel Rich does that can't be covered anymore.
Yeah, especially when it comes to speed. And if the way we played against Richmond is the way we're sort of looking to play moving forward with a few more handball chains running off the halfback, then yeah, it's gonna be very hard for him to crack his way back into the team.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, if you described McKenna, Kadeen Coleman and Wilmot, like, what are they first and foremost? They're proactive players. Like, they're really proactive in the way that they try and whether they try to nip in and intercept or take the ball and go. Whereas Daniel Rich is a much more reactive player. It allows other players further up the field to be proactive because they know that they can rely on the good disposal to be proactive in that sense. But we've seen quite be up to scratch. So then you've got a reactive player that's not necessarily doing the right things. But is it sad? Yeah, but it happens. It's football. You can't play like you're 25 all the time.
Yeah, I would, as a neutral, I was really sort of sad to see Nathan Jones miss out on the Melbourne Premiership. And I think, you know, if things work out the way we're sort of hoping to as Lions fans, it's going to be pretty heartbreaking if Daniel Rich doesn't make the cut. It'd be nice to see Ryan Lester there. But yeah, someone that's had the chance to go back numerous times to WA and as they say, stuck fat with the club, only to miss out when it really matters would be a real shame. He was all Australian 2 years ago. So it has been a pretty significant drop off.
Yeah. But, you know, I think with that, though, it's like, I mean, to me, I find it crazy that you can have, you know, you just have the 22 that are there on grand final day being the ones rewarded for the premiership. Like,
yep.
That to me is insane. You know, I don't necessarily think it should be, you know, every player who's played 1 minute for the club. But if you've, you know, played five games over the course of a season or made five appearances, I feel like you should be eligible for a medal. But I mean, I know, well, you know, on a personal note, I've played in grand finals and albeit in soccer and I've been substituted and felt like I hadn't contributed and felt a bit dirty about the win. Maybe that's because I was 17 and pretty immature at the time, but who knows? You know, it's a weird one. You want to feel like you're contributing strong to a team. Otherwise you feel, even, you know, in my case, like I didn't really feel good about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's a weird anecdote that probably doesn't make a whiff of sense.
No, I get it because, like, even players like Jared Lyons, who hasn't been member of the 22 this year, he's certainly been instrumental in the way that we've built the club over the last 5 years. And, you know, if we do end up going on and reaping the ultimate rewards, then sure. Like, it'd be a shame for him to miss out on as well.
Get in touch anytime. Shoot us an email at blfancast@gmail.com or join the Discord.
Well, the VFL suffered a heartbreaking after the siren loss. Once again, poor kicking let us down. 7 goals, 16. Tigers, 8 goals, 11. So, and after the siren goal to Jacob Bauer means that we lost the game by a point at Brighton Homes Arena. As I said, Jared Lyons, 41 touches. Tunstall, Pryor, Sharp, Madden all had pretty effective games. Blake Coleman was our leading goal scorer, 2 goals, 4, so had 6 shots on goal. Kyle Lohman chipped in with 20 touches and one goal too. So the more I think about it, the more, just because we've got Melbourne at the MCG the week later, if that calf is anything for Dunkley, then I'm bringing in JL for the game against West Coast, because we do need our best team against Melbourne.
Yeah, that is a good point. That's, yeah, I don't know, kind of like for like. It's weird because momentum, there's a lot that can be said for it, and you can kind of fall into a trap of sort of what's happened with most teams post like a bye week.
Yeah.
But if you're dealing with an injury, yeah, I agree. I'd probably do it a bit differently because I'd someone else who's playing in the centres, because someone else must be doing it because Matheson's not doing it at the moment.
It's like Kyle Dunkley's playing in the middle, Tunstall's rolling through there. Of course, we know Noah Answorth sort of plays his minutes in the midfield as well. So, I mean, apart from Kyle Dunkley, there's options there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd just like to see someone that's got a more potential to kind of impact the team either forward or next year or whatever. Did you see the thing with Dev Robb and the kind of the contract negotiation stuff?
Yeah, so that's obviously promising news. I think it helps that West Coast are playing very, very poorly at the moment, so they're not exactly an attractive prospect for any sort of wannabe AFL player. Yeah, you might play 22 games a year and be in the starting lineup, but I mean, the way they're playing at the moment, West Coast, and they've still got, you know, aging players on the list. They've still got Shuey, Yo, Hearn, you know, a bunch of other...
McGovern.
Yeah, McGovern, Darling, who will probably go on for another year or so. So they've still got some older players that will make way. So their rebuild, I guess, sort of really hasn't even started yet. So they're in for another couple of years of some pretty hefty losses. So, yeah, the option's there for you to play week in, week out in the middle, or you can earn your spot in a team that's going to be, hopefully, still fighting for top four over the next 3 or 4 years.
I mean, it's probably no clearer example than to see like where Alex Witherden has kind of gone as a player.
Yeah.
Where he was really good for sort of, what was it, season and a half, and then it just kind of, for whatever reason, the club didn't deem him necessary to hold on to, and he's kind of done not a lot. Like, I haven't really even heard of him, and I understand that's probably because he's over in Perth. But as far as stock for a player is and goes, he had a pretty bloody high stock in his, particularly in his second year coming. I think he finished quite high in the rising sun, quite high in Japan. He was a Japanese icon. finished quite high in the rising star. NAB rising star. Why does that sound so wrong?
I don't know, but it, for some reason, when you say it, it does sound wrong.
The house of the rising star. Yeah, I mean, like, would anyone really want to go there at this point in time?
And to
sort of, you know, dovetail back in, it's kind of like you look at it and go, okay, Dev Robb's sort of seen probably Zorko as his main competition, you know, longer term spot in the team, and he's seen a dude out with like calf problems multiple times a year and suspended. So you're probably like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the carrot's there, it's being dangled, so it's just, like, it's going to be up to him, ideally. You know, maybe money comes into it as well, but he's certainly...
By all accounts, he's got a pretty settled life here.
As we said, we got West Coast this week, 145, Gabba, Saturday during the day, a rare day game, the second of the year against the other West Australian team.
A rare day game and a rarer game. I will be at that game.
Oh, that's right. At the Gabba. You're making the trip up.
Especially for the West Coast game.
Sure.
No, not that. I have some business to attend to, and that happened to be a game. And, you know, to be honest, I did definitely kind of work it around a Lions game.
Yeah.
Couldn't quite make the Geelong one or the Richmond ones respectively stick, mainly due to the Thursday night of the Richmond and Geelong being too close to the... I'm going up to help sort out stuff with my brother's wedding. So, yeah, I'll be up for the game. So if we want to organize something, we'll let you know if anything is happening, and if it is, where, because, you know, it would be nice to meet up, but I don't want to get anyone's hopes up.
Yeah,
well, anyone's hopes got up.
Yeah, we'll see if we can make something work with anyone that wants to tag along with some listeners. So just keep your eyes peeled on the various social media platforms or the Discord or whatever. We'll hopefully get something up over the next week, maybe not, just, you know, we'll keep you informed one way or t'other.
We've got 4 extra days break on West Coast.
Yeah.
And they're traveling.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit brutal, the idea of us coming off a six-day break and Richmond coming off the bye. Now it's like shoes on the other foot, so brilliant. Love it.
But, you know, the work starts after this weekend. I mean, it's not the sort of game that we should just go in thinking, yeah, we're just going to roll West Coast here, because you can see what happens to any team that, you know, is just 5% off. You know, it happens all the time, upsets left, right and centre. So we can't just roll in thinking we're going to win this game. Especially, we can't go in with that attitude knowing we've got to go down to the MCG next week, because that attitude can sort of linger and permeate through the group, and you know, we can't afford to be off at the MCG against Melbourne.
No, I agree, but I felt like watching performed in a way that we haven't really ever sort of performed in, that completely just like crush them mentality against Richmond. So I think that was almost like a good psychological evaluation for how we could treat this West Coast game and like be brutal. I think I messaged my brother through the game, and I'll find it. I said, I want to brutalize Richmond, hey. And he responded in tow with the profanities in the affirmation sense. And then also said, Taranto is second fave in the Brownlow, apparently, with, I want to say, 10 emojis of that melting face, which is... got to be up there for funniest emoji there is.
If you've got a mate that loves the Lions, tell them to get the podcast into their ear holes.
Is there anything else happening around the traps that you want to mention? Or?
Well, one thing to come out of the game was Jason Dunstall getting stuck into Eric Hipwood for taunting Noah Bolter.
Oh, is that the clapping in the face?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just so, yeah, who cares? It's funny.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't know what's been going on in the lead up to that. Sort of into that mark that I think Danaher took. So nothing to see here. The other thing that the, you know, sort of rumour mill is floating around is that the Lions are pretty heavily into Tom Duday, key defender from Adelaide, who is currently out with an ACL, yet to sign a contract, and apparently we're sort of making a bit of a play for him. Now, that obviously means... like, we've obviously resigned to the fact that Marcus Adams is gone, and we probably will never see him take the AFL footy field again, which is really sad. Obviously... Gardner and Leicester are sort of jostling for that third defender, and as we've discussed, it's Leicester's to lose now. I don't see Dizzy making his way back in, unless an injury. Darragh Joyce, we've tried in that position as well, and sort of, yeah, we've seen what he can do. Who knows, with a bit more
continuity. I agree with that, but also disagree with the Darragh Joyce thing. I think he was there at a time where, like, we had half of the back six were all pretty new, so yeah. It'd be interesting to see how he would go with a more solid and stable group, but it's not worth finding out right at this point in time.
Yeah. So I guess Tom Duday is the name that we're looking at. That's a pretty stacked key position back line, Payne, Andrews and Duday.
Yeah, I admittedly don't really know too much about him. I know he exists and has a funny name. And I believe that I probably got him and Daniel Talia mixed up quite a lot. I don't know why. But yeah, it was interesting because I think, we're kind of linked with quite a few of that sort of back key defender type people, like Himmelberg, Duday, etc.
I think Himmelberg is probably a stretch too far. I don't, like, he'll be getting some pretty significant offers from all sorts of clubs, and I don't think we're going to be able to match that cash-wise. So Duday seems to be the next cab off the rank who, you know... depends how long he's out with that knee for. It certainly wouldn't be the worst acquisition.
No, well, I suppose you got to constantly be trying to improve. And, you know, is that a position where we want to improve? I guess so. But, I mean, to me, I'm just sort of like, leave that for the trade period, wait until the season's done. It's a bit of a pet peeve of mine. I kind of really dislike speculation and movement and that sort of thing. I guess that's probably come from more of an English Premier League type thing where that garbage goes on for 4 months of a year.
Yeah.
Because you got a three-month summer and a one-month winter, where I just sort of avoid any media like the plague until I see some bozo signing a piece of paper for a picture or holding up a shirt or something like that. So once that happens, then I'm all for it. But until that, we'll wait and see. If the club has sort of noticed that they need a bit more in the defensive half, that's great, and they probably do. But at the moment, they're making pretty good of it. So
no, I agree. That's probably the only other thing worth mentioning at the moment is there's not. So you know, the bye rounds are done now. Back to a full round of footy. Some tough games coming up. Melbourne down the MCG, Geelong at home. Both of those teams have been inconsistent. That game against Sydney was. an absolute nightmare to watch on Friday night for Geelong.
Yeah, I think at halftime I was like, oh, Geelong are going to win this, aren't they? And they kind of didn't, but also did in the sense that they drowed.
Yeah, well, so, Sydney lost that game. I mean, they're poor kicking. Both teams lucky to get away with a draw, I guess.
Yeah, what absolute garbage. And, like, Gold Coast Suns, awful for that first half against, like, Collingwood. It's just like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, and as well as that, the Dan Houston after the siren, just like, oh, yeah, I'm good at one thing, and it's kicking the ball 60 metres, so just let me do that, will you, chaps? You knew it was going in.
It was a good bloody kick.
We saw him, I mean, the writing was on the wall, I think, round one, not this year, but last year, where he kicked, I think, about three of those. So, yeah, annoying that Collingwood and Adelaide Collingwood just keep winning. So, what can you do? Like, I think they'll drop games at some point, but is it really going to make a difference at this stage? I don't really think so. I think they've probably got the top two sewn up. And if I'm going to tempt fate, yeah, I don't really mind it quite as much. Don't quite mind it as much as it would, like, you know, to me, it's not quite like, it's not a Richmond top of the table or a Geelong or, you know, even Melbourne, where it's kind of like, oh, Christ, those guys are in good form and have home field. These guys, yeah, they're in home form, but they're not quite as established. So still a bit that I think they have to prove.
Well, I mean, I'll put it to you this way. Week one of the finals, we're in a qualifying final. Would you rather be playing Collingwood at the G or Port at Adelaide Oval?
I don't care. Doesn't bother me. Either one. I'd prefer that to playing Melbourne at the G or playing like Prime Richmond at the G or playing Geelong at Cardinia. So maybe that's a sign of the times. Maybe it's post, like, assault fear, post-traumatic stress. Post-assault fear. PAF. That's a new one. Maybe it's that, but, you know, although we didn't really perform very well at Adelaide Oval, I think we can win there. Like, I think we can beat Collingwood. I think we can beat Port Adelaide, so.
Well, we will get another look at Collingwood in round 23, albeit at Marvel. As I said last week, it's a shame we don't get another crack at Port Adelaide, so it will remain to be seen if you know, things stay as stable as they have and the eight hasn't changed for a little bit. It looks like we will be heading back to Adelaide Oval against Port Adelaide, and that will be about as hostile an environment as you can imagine.
What an absolute logjam to get into that, like, eighth spot, though. Holy moly.
Yeah.
It's, like, just inexplicable that, like, Carlton and Richmond are still there or thereabouts. Same with Sydney. Like, three teams on the same. What is it, like, six wins and a draw?
Just to rub salt in the wound, Sandy Roberts, the whole night, called me Big Jeff Brown. Jeff, did he? Oh, no.
All right, well, it is that time. Have you got a nostalgic player for us this week?
I have. Bit unassuming, probably underperformed. Ryan Bastanac.
Basti. Bruise with Basti. I wonder if that's still going.
Oh, that was that coffee thing they did?
Yeah, except now I think he's drinking, like, alcohol with Mitch Robinson for a podcast.
Okay. I don't know. That was a pretty golden age of Brisbane Lions social media. They didn't have a lot going on. So you had, like, Josh Walker doing some stuff, like some sort of breakfast thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruise with Basti, I don't know. He was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Likeable enough. Seemed pretty likeable within the team. Played about, 40-odd games?
Yeah, about that for us. 164 total. Played like his best footy and most of his footy at North Melbourne, obviously, and then moved up here. The one thing I'll remember Basti for is that maybe 2016, 2017, can't really remember, but that game that we beat Essendon down, was it Marvel or the MCG?
It's Marvel.
Yeah. And I think he put
It's funny, that game's got mentioned 2 weeks in a row, yeah. Funnily enough. So
he put the sealer. He put through the sealer, Basti. So,
falling away snap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to see. Fags very happy in that moment. So, yeah, other than that, not a lot to say about Ryan Bastanac and his time with the Lions.
Well, he was probably a little bit hard done by in the sense that I think he kind of wanted to play as that inside mid at the Lions, but at the time we had, like, Zorko and, like, we probably only had our best players in that position, so we had, like, Zorko and Rockliffe and Beams.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, shit, how am I supposed to get in here? So he often sort of played as, like, a forward flanker and winger and stuff like that, and, you know, had a pretty decent set shot for goal.
Yeah.
It was sort of someone on the team sheet you were like, oh, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, perfectly.
Fair enough.
Perfectly cromulent footballer.
Cromulent. dear, yeah.
I think he still lives up in Brizzy, but plays down in Melbourne. I think he's playing with Dane Beams actually in some sort of like low tier competition down there, and he flies in and out each week.
Yeah, right. Well, that's probably a rort down there. He can't even get near the inside mids, even in retirement. Although that said, I don't even know what Dane Beams is doing, whether he just sees the world in Technicolor these days, but who knows?
Very possibly. Good on Basti.
I had a one, not a question, but just a like a from the other JB. She said she really liked the Joe Danaher wet pool noodle. He didn't have a wet pool noodle quarter this week.
No, he's
he kept that until after the final siren,
which is fine. Do that each week, and everyone will be happy.
Well, that about wraps it up, I reckon.
I reckon it bloody does. Yeah, stay tuned. West Coast this weekend, Saturday 1:45 at the Gabba, with the possibility of some sort of BL Fancast meetup afterwards. So check the socials for goings on there.
But I do want to leave you on one thing, you little beauty.